Today we're looking at the role of the Christian wife. Now, what I want to do is just to try as much as possible to highlight a number of things with regards to the Christian wife that will help us in terms of understanding what our roles are, as what the role of the Christian wife is, and really so that we can, should I say, enjoy the benefits that God has actually proposed for marriage. And you know, one thing I said when I was talking about the men, which I'm going to say about the women before I start, is all these things that I'm talking about, they're things that we should aspire to. And the truth of the matter is that for men and for women, these things are quite difficult to do. They're not things that just come, they're not things that just happen naturally. They're things that God really has to help us with. Do you get what I mean? So in saying all these things, it's not really to just say, this is what we should do, this is what we shouldn't do, so on and so forth. Because I think for some of them, we probably know them already. So what I'm saying this morning is, look, where I'm saying these things for us to aspire to, but bearing in mind that really it is God that will help us to attain these things. It's not something that we can do on our own. We can make up our minds, we can have the knowledge, we can have the information, but really, when the tire hits the road, God has to help us. There's this popular saying in boxing, and I'm not saying that because of yesterday's match. They said, as a boxer, you can have a plan, you can have a strategy, but when you get in that ring and you get punched in the face once, all the plans go out of the window. Do you understand? So what I'm just saying, is that in this respect, we might leave here, hear this really interesting and nice things, and we want to put it into practice, and the rubber hits the road. When that rubber hits the road, you need to understand and remember that, look, you make the decision, but God is the one that empowers us to really do these things. So I just want to really put that out. So we're looking at the role of the Christian wife. I have a number of interesting things to say here, and I'll just try and go through as many as I can. If I finish today, fine. If not, we'll finish another time. Now, the first thing I want to look at in terms of the role of the Christian wife is from Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. It says something there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Are we there? It says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." Can we have the NIV version, please? If you just click NIV. It says, "The Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." So we begin to see that at the very beginning of time, when the woman came onto the scene, or before the woman came onto the scene, God looked at Adam, the man, and he said, look, it's not good for this guy to be alone. He needs somebody to help him. Do you understand? And that was the beginning of the role that Eve was going to play. And this role also extends to us now, where as wives, we need to have at the back of our minds that one of the primary functions or roles of a wife is to help her husband. Now, this is the 20th century, and someone might say, Pastor Benson, come on, isn't that such an archaic, old-fashioned thing? Isn't that something that belongs to the 50s? Now where women are liberated, they're not under all these draconian, so on and so forth. But what I'm talking about has nothing to do with culture. It just has to do with the Bible. And the Bible says here that God brought Eve to Adam eventually so that she could help him. So as wives, we need to bear in mind, or as wives to be in the future, that one of the roles that a wife, you know, does is to support her husband. Now, the challenge comes for the women where you marry a man that is going nowhere and you have nothing to help him with. Well, we spoke about those kind of men last week. So the challenge comes when there's a woman marries a man and there's nothing for her to do. She becomes restless. She becomes bored, so to speak. But just bearing in mind that primarily your husband needs your help. God says that. So any man that is married, that man needs help. I knew someone was going to laugh at that. Not in that regard. Every married man needs help. And God has provided this help in form of, you know, his spouse. So that's the first thing that we see from, you know, the role of a Christian wife here. Now, the next thing is this. I want to read from Ephesians chapter 5 verse 33. I'm going to look at the latter part. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 33. And the Bible says something there, and I'll read the B part, 33B. It says, and the wife, we looked at the husbands last week, so we're not going to discuss that today. It says, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, why is it that for the man, if we look at the first part, the Bible says the man should love, or men should love their wives. It didn't say men should respect their wives. But when it came to the women, it says, women, respect your husband. Now, I believe the reason is that for women, love comes naturally. I think most women just love, you know, will love their husband. That's why they got married mostly. So for women, love is not, it's a no-brainer. It's a given. But for men, men have to work at it. It's true. So why is it that God is now saying in this scripture that women should respect their husbands? That means in the same way that there's something in men that love doesn't come naturally to men, they have to work at it. The same way, if I flip the coin around, I can say that for the woman to respect her husband, a lot of the times it doesn't come naturally. What do I mean by that? You know, when I was speaking about the men, I said, look, love is not a feeling. Love, if you look at 1 Corinthians, we don't have to turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, love is kind, love is patient, so on and so forth. So as a man or as a husband, even if you don't, in quote, feel like loving your wife, the Bible says you should love your wife in action anyway. Now, if I flip it to the you know, flip the coin around and we're looking at respect, and the Bible is saying that wives should respect their husbands, what this is saying is that you are not to respect your husband because he deserves your respect. You're to respect your husband because he's your husband. And the thing is this. A wife might look at her husband and say, Pastor Benson, what are you saying? You know, someone that hears this message and says, my husband, that guy is not worthy of respect. In fact, he's irresponsible. How are you telling me to respect a man like that? A man that, you know, doesn't take his responsibilities serious. A man, and, you know, one can list out all these things. But what the Bible is saying here is this, that women, wives should respect their husbands, not because their husbands deserve respect, so to speak, or they're behaving in a way that is respectable. But all the same, like, men have to love their wives, even if their wives are not lovable at that stage. He says, in the same way for the women, respect your husbands, not because they deserve it. Now, so that's the second thing that we're looking at here. Now, one might say, hang on, as a woman, if I love my husband, isn't that enough? I love him and you, that should suffice. Do you know that I can tell you something about men? If you gave a man two options and you said respect or love, he would take respect. He would take respect. What does that mean? Now, a woman might say, you know, maybe amongst, maybe her husband is there and she's talking about her husband and his friends are around or something, And this woman loves her husband so much, and it's evident she will do anything. She will, you know, give an arm for her husband because she loves him so much. And the man sat there and they're talking. Everybody's there, his friends, so on and so forth. And she begins to say, this man, I love him so much, but he's a useless man. He doesn't do anything. He just sits around the house. I've spoken, I've tried all my best for him. I've tried to tell him, look, do this, but he just doesn't listen. Guys, you better talk to your friend. Although I love him, and the chap is there. So what that is saying is that although you love your husband, the fact that you're not respecting him in that context, in his eyes, that love that you have for him counts for nothing. But let's take another scenario where the wife doesn't even like the man at all. She, I know, you know, well, the man, the wife actually dislikes her husband to bits temporarily. Has says nothing good about him. He is just so, you know, and she respects him so much, even though she knows that this guy is, you know, he's not, and the guy knows that he's a clown. But she respects him so much. Hello there, how are you doing? I hope you're fine. In front of his friends, very respectful. That man will think twice. And I'm telling you, the man will prefer that scenario. Now, do you know that there's something, I think that one is something else. There is something that wives need to understand about men. You know, when you read some of these stories, and I'll talk about the next one in a minute, you read a story about a man who, they said this man was married for 30 years or whatever, then he suddenly ran away with his secretary to another country. And this man was maybe the chief executive of a corporation. And they said, he left to know that I've found someone else, left his family of 30 years and flew away to Hawaii. And the guy just left. And people are now, what happened? His wife is such a nice person. What happened to this man? Why did he, you know? Do you know what happens in scenarios like that? This is looking at it from a negative perspective. There's some women that know men, and there's some women that know that, look, if I'm going to get this man, they're experts. They know that I just have to really respect him. And you see a man that comes, maybe he's in the office or something, and this woman comes to him and is like, oh, how are you doing? Oh, you look so sad. Are you okay? And the man says, I'm okay. Oh, man, you're looking so good today. I hope. And she's telling him all these things, but it's a lie. She just knows how to manipulate men. Now, what is she using here? She's using what is called the power of, she's using this Bible verse, actually, in a wrong way. And suddenly, this man begins to feel that, hang on, woman really respects me. This woman really, and that's it. Do you understand what I mean? So what I'm just saying is that for men, respect, particularly in the context of marriage, is key. Now, someone might say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. This is the 20th century. And, you know, we're liberated. This is an egalitarian society. What you're talking about is quite Stone Age. It's quite a cake. Now, what happens in the context where a woman doesn't respect her husband openly, continuously? The man can do a number of things by default. Either the man shuts down and he just stops the communication. He's like, okay, no problem. This is how you want to talk. This is how you want to live. And he shuts down as a man. Or the other extreme is the man becomes really aggressive. Do you understand what I mean? So the Bible, God knows men and God knows women. So he's saying that for husbands, you husbands love your wife. We looked at that last week. But for women and for wives, he says, respect your husbands. Do you understand? Because that is what men need. Now, the next thing I want to look at is from Ephesians chapter 5. So we've looked at the wife as the helpmate or helper. We looked at wives respecting and honoring their husbands. The next one we're looking at is from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 24. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 24. So this next one talks about submission. Now, this is quite a controversial topic as well in some circles, because it's like, oh my goodness, this doesn't belong in the 20th century. Are you trying to tell me that I'm a slave? Why should I be submissive? No, no, that's the wrong context of understanding of submission. But we'll look at that in a moment. So, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 24, it says, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, for which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now, what does submission mean? Now, the reason why sometimes when one says, you know, when you quote this Bible verse, women might say, you know what, this is just not it at all. One of the reasons that one might feel that way is because some men have actually abused the scripture. Do you understand? Some men we went to church today. Pastor says, submit to me. No, that's not what the Bible is talking about here. Here, let's realize that the Bible says that men and women are equal heirs. We're all equal before God. So there's no one who is less or more in terms of worth, in terms of value before God. But submission here is talking about something else. And the example I'll give is this. Now, I work in an office. I go into my office and I have a manager. Maybe my manager is even younger than I am. Maybe he's like half my age. Then he wouldn't be my. And probably maybe he doesn't even know as much as I do, because I know more than he does, but he's my manager. Submission is this. The manager, because of his role as the manager, he says, this is the direction that this department is going. So Pastor Benson, or you'll call me my first name, Kehinde, this is what you should do. This is what you should do. That's what you should do. Now, submission is because this guy is my manager, not because he's more knowledgeable or not, not because I'm older or he's younger, but the fact that he has the role as being my manager, I submit to his leadership. Do you understand? So submission here is saying that wives should submit to the leadership of their husbands. It's not saying the husbands should be tyrants. It's not saying the husbands should be dictators, saying submit, you must obey my every will and command. No, it's not saying that. This is saying that God has put husbands as leaders in the house. So the wife should submit to the leadership of her husband. Not because she's less or less intelligent or less valuable. That's just the way God has put it. Do you understand? So what I'm just saying is that if in our offices or at our workplaces, we recognize these things and we don't have qualms about it, God is using that type of submission to leadership in this context as well. Now, someone might say, hang on, how about if my husband is asking me to do something that is unbiblical, that is against the faith? Then in that instance, you can say, you know what, husband, this thing that you're asking me to do is against what the Bible says. My dear, I can't do this. Do you understand? So one will express that as well with respect. So it won't be like, you know what, that's a silly suggestion that you just made, man, and I'm not going to do it. And you call yourself a good husband. No, you don't respond that way. Respect. You put your point across. Respect and say, you know what, this that you've asked me to do, honey, I don't think I can do it because of this. Do you understand? So that's what submission talks about here. Now, I want to talk about the power of submission and what submission, the power that submission, that the wife can wield with submission. I'll try and explain that in a minute. If we look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6. It says something here. Peter was talking about a scenario in the Old Testament. He said, like Sarah. Sarah was the wife of Abraham. And I'll come back to her in a minute. He said, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Now, this Sarah that we're talking about was the wife of Abraham. This is the same Sarah that convinced her husband to do something completely out of God's will. And the man agreed. The Bible says that she submitted to Abraham. Now, this Abraham that we all love so much that we call the father of faith. Do we know that twice in the Old Testament, Abraham did something to his wife that I'm sure if anybody did in the 20th century, it would be on Instagram and it would be on, I heard people don't use Facebook anymore. It would be on whatever, Snapchat. Is this Snapchat? The whole news would be there. Now, what did Abraham ask his wife to do? We're not going to go there, but in Genesis, you can take this down. Genesis chapter 20 verses 1 to 16 and Genesis chapter 12 verses 10 to 20. Abraham at one point was going to a place with his wife. They were traveling. And in those days, I mean, they could kill you. I mean, it's not like now that we have laws that value human life. And as they were getting to the city, do you know what he told his wife? He said, wife, as we're going to the city, there are a lot of dangerous people there. And you're a beautiful woman. If anybody comes and asks, are you my wife? Tell them, no, you're my sister, so that they don't kill me. Abraham goes into the first city. And this king sees Abraham's wife. And says, like, who's this beautiful woman? Abraham says, she's my sister. The king takes his wife to his palace. Do you get what that means? Abraham put his wife forward to save himself. It's just like maybe there's a film and there are people, not even a film, there's someone who's shooting a gun and he's aiming in a direction and the husband takes the wife and puts the wife as a shield. What kind of man would you call that? A good husband? I don't think so. Abraham said, just say you're my sister so they don't kill me. And this king took his wife. I'll tell you what happened in a minute. That was the first time. Abraham went to another country as well and did the same thing. And this was Egypt. This was Egypt. As they were approaching Egypt, Abraham told his wife Sarah, these guys are really dangerous in this place. If they ask you if you're my wife or not, just say you're my sister. And he, again, the second time, got to Egypt. And Pharaoh, the king of Egypt then, said, who is this beautiful woman? He said, she's my sister. Pharaoh took Sarah as one of his concubines. Why? Because Abraham said, you know what? She's my sister. You can just do whatever you want with her. Now, why am I saying this? This is the same Sarah that the Bible is telling us here. It says, she obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. She submitted to him. Now, why am I describing this scenario? I'm describing this scenario because Sarah did something in good faith. Although I don't know if that was the right decision she made anyway. She did something in good faith. She submitted to Abraham. And in those scenarios, do you know what happened? God came into the picture. In one of them, when this man, Abimelech, took Abraham's wife, because Abraham had lied that she was his sister, the Bible tells us that God appeared to Abimelech and said, if you touch that woman, you're a dead man. And the man said, hang on, this guy told me, he didn't tell me that she was his wife. He said she's his sister. So God came on the scene and said, you know what? Sarah, you're submissive. And he warned the king. The king, in fear, just said, Abraham, take your wife. Pharaoh did the same thing, like I described earlier, because Abraham again lied, but she obeyed him anyway. The same thing happened with Pharaoh, where because Pharaoh took Abraham's wife, God began to afflict the house of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh now said, hang on, what's happening? What have I done? They now found out that it was because he took someone's wife. And again, Pharaoh said, you know what? She's my sister. Sorry, Abraham said, Pharaoh told God that Abraham said she's his sister. That's why, you know, I took her. God did not let them lay a finger on Sarah in each of those scenarios. Do you understand what I mean? Now, why am I saying all this? Now, I must put a PS in that. This is the New Testament. If a husband asks his wife to do something that is against the Bible, she should say respectfully, no. But what I'm just trying to demonstrate here is something, or to show us, is that when a woman or a wife is submissive to her husband from her heart, even if that man is a crazy man, even if that man is whatever he wants to be, God will use the power of submission that woman has, that she's, you know, coming on that because he has said so, to turn the heart of the man eventually. Do you understand what I mean? So, I mean, God will just use that. I went to a meeting, men's meeting yesterday. One of my old friends invited me. So we went, they took us up to curry. Had loads of Indian and I slept very late in the night. That's why I was yawning this morning. And I was sat by this chap and it's like, oh, hi, how are you? What's your, I said, oh, I'm Pastor Benson. And he began to tell me his story. And he said that, do I want to know how, you know, he became born again? I said, yeah, tell me. He said his wife used to go to church with their kids. And at that point, this was about over 15 years ago. They've been married now for maybe about that. And he said every time that they went to church in the morning, he was so happy because he was like, man, wife, kids, out of the house. I have the whole house to myself. Church, what are you talking about? Church. And I think he'll just tell his wife that, you know what, if you want to go, fine, but don't even mention church to me at all. Do you understand? But what did the woman do? Nothing. She just kept on going, praying for him, being nice to him, being submissive. Then one day he said, okay, I think he now said his daughter said something to him. The daughter now said, okay, dad, at our church they're doing something, which is, if you come to church, dad, I'll get points, brownie points. And he said, okay, he would just go anyway. Not that he had any interest at all in church, because he wanted his daughter to get brownie points. I was thinking that maybe we need to use that instead. And he said he just went anyway, just out of, you know, not to, so that his daughter would get the points. And when he entered the service that day, and he heard what the pastor was saying about God, he was touched and he became born again. He became born again to the point that he told his wife, we're living in this part of Bristol. You know what we need to do there? We need to move right next to the church. That's how the man, that's how much the man loves church so much. So what am I saying here? I'm saying here that, you know, for wives, the power of submission, as from God's perspective, can go a long way. So it's not really how convincing we can be to our husbands. It's not really how, do you understand? But God is saying, look, when we do things his own way, even though it might seem a bit illogical, even though it might seem unfashionable, even though it might seem archaic, he uses that to work in men, in husbands. He uses it to place the home in a way that is manageable so that everybody can get the best out of it. Do you understand what I mean? So I think we're going to stop there today. And in 2 weeks, I'll mention one or two things, because next week we're having a carol service. So I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ then. But this morning, I'm going to stop there. I'm just going to ask us to rise up and to pray.